What's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast, coming to you live from the Frog Quarters in San Francisco, California. We are all live. We got an all live Frogcast this week. We got no Skype guests, just straight up. We're all about the physical matter. We got Brett, grumpiest man in podcasting. He's not so grumpy lately.
Ever, really. Yeah. I mean, I got grumpy pores, but emotionally, kind of upbeat.
Yeah. He's a gleeful nihilist.
Yeah.
And then we got Mr. Matt Lieb, the irregular.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back from my hiatus. I was filming a short film about a dog.
Yeah, tell us about that. What's it like filming? Well, first of all, what we're going to do today, it's Michael Bay week. Transformers, Revenge of the Age of, I don't know, it's the fourth one.
Yeah, Transformers 4.
Transformers, which I like to call it, but then it's bad for SEO purposes, so I kind of went back to Age. Anyway, that's coming out this week. It'll be out by the time you hear this podcast. So we all decided to watch Pain and Gain because it was Michael Bay's last movie.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that.
His last movie before he died.
Yeah, exactly. Before he blew up.
Yep.
And, you know, we got some other topics to discuss that we'll get to. But first, I want to know.
You want to know about my short film, my acting career?
Yeah, you have a way of making this all about you. So I was just, you know.
Just going to get out of your way.
All right. Yeah. Well, now I don't want to tell you. I just wanted to say where I had been, which is in a minivan with two Weimaraners for a short film shoot for a movie called Silver Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what Weimaraners look like, they are silver.
They're very nice dogs. They're very pretty. They're shiny. Yeah.
They're pretty. They're shiny. They look like Muppets.
Yeah.
They
you could easily imagine like Nazi soldiers walking around with them and then the dogs just sort of abusing anyone who wasn't like pretty and perfect.
Oh, interesting.
They don't seem like mean dogs, though. They're kind of houndy.
I thought they were
stuck up, though.
Oh, yeah, but that's different.
I always thought that they were the Jews of dogs, a little bit. I mean, maybe not. I don't know. I could be wrong about that, but, you know, they're silver, you know, Judas.
Okay.
You know, and then also I looked at like German Shepherds as like you know, the SS.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, the Weimaraners are skinny and they're being forced into
Like dog aristocracy.
Yeah.
Because they're fancy. They're fancy dogs.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that was a very subtle way for you to say Jews are rich, but I am okay with it. I can accept it. But yeah, so I did a short film about that for lots of days. And I don't know when it's coming out, but it's about a guy who lives in a minivan with two dogs.
Is that from the people that brought the LeBron hate?
No. This is completely different. This is like a dark comedy, which is to say that it's not. I don't think it's going to be like that funny.
Yeah.
But it does end. Well, I won't say how it ends, but it is. It's pretty dark.
Are you going to festival circuit that shit?
I'm just an actor in it. I think her plan, Aaron Drake Pryor, the person who made it, I think her plan is to put it in festivals and stuff, which means no one's going to get to see it for a long time, which makes me happy because it's like you never want like it to immediately like, here's what you did. And then people go like, that's what you did. And then be like, fuck you. You know, you want to wait a year before like, oh, right, you did that. And then. Anyways, so should be fun. And now we've talked about me, Vince.
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, we sure did.
But, you know, it was a good segue with the Jew thing to talk about Gary Oldman, which we're going to talk about anyway.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
That's one of those stories I think you probably just ignored.
I saw it come up three or four times in your feed, and I just don't really care that much about. Because I feel like it's going to be the reaction's going to be more of a story than the story might have been.
Of course. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that it's if there's no story to begin with, then what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
It's
that's
like
a
just
good
one
point.
Long. Yeah.
You know how I feel about
comment section. So if you suddenly turn that into the story,
I
don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So what? Give us the rundown for people like me who skip it.
Well, here's the original interview. I'll just read the whole section that was in question.
This is a Playboy interview he did
or
something. So he's feeling a little secure. He's like, oh, I can be real. It's Playboy.
Yeah, sort of. I can understand why someone like Mel, for instance, would finance his own movies now because it has all become so crazy. And the interviewer, Mel Gibson? Yeah. What do you think about what he's gone through the past few years? Oldman. I just think political correctness is crap. That's what I think about it. I think it's like, take a fucking joke. Get over it. I heard about a science teacher who was teaching that God made the earth and God made everything, and that if you believe anything else, you're stupid. A Buddhist kid in the class got very upset about this, so the parents went in and are suing the school. The school is changing its curriculum. I thought, all right, go to the school and complain about it, and then that's the end of it. But they're going to sue. No one can take a joke anymore. I don't know about Mel.
That's not really a joke.
I don't think he knows what a joke is.
Maybe he doesn't know what a joke is?
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
We're joking. Like, of course God isn't real. Like, the whole just Catholic Church comes crashing down.
the punchline that ended the world.
Yeah.
Sorry, no God. Da, 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 da.
JK, the Pope is hilarious.
I don't know about Mel. He got drunk and said a few things, but we've all said those things. We're all fucking hypocrites.
Whoa.
That's what I think about it. The policeman who arrested him has never used the word nigger or that fucking Jew. I'm being brutally honest here. It's the hypocrisy of it that drives me crazy. Or maybe I should strike that and say the N-word and the F-word, though there are two F-words now. Playboy, the three-letter one? Oldman. Alec calling someone an FAG in the street while he's pissed off coming out of his building because they won't leave him alone. I don't blame him. So they persecute. Mel Gibson is in a town that's run by Jews, and he said the wrong thing because he's actually bitten the hand that I guess has fed him and doesn't need to feed him anymore because he has got enough dough. He's like an outcast, a leper, you know? But some Jewish guy in his office somewhere hasn't turned and said that fucking crowd or fuck those Germans or whatever it is. We all hide and try to be so politically correct. That's what gets me. It's just the sheer hypocrisy of everyone that we all stand on this thing going, isn't that shocking?
Oh, no.
I hate it when people try and be real. Like, oh, this is unpopular. I'm going to be real with you. Just like, just shut up. Yeah. Just shut up.
You know, I'm going to say what no one else has said or what everyone has said.
God, what a dick.
Oh, damn it. I thought that it was going to be...
Yeah, that's actually not very good.
Well, I mean, the problem is the assumption that, you know, he said some things that we've all gotten drunk and said. Is like, I don't think I've ever in my life said that the Jews have started every war.
Yeah.
In fact, I know some people who are kind of anti-Semitic who have never said
that.
Yeah,
I think there's one angle that you could take that doesn't make him look like a crazy person, and that's he got totally off base trying to be like, oh, well, you know, it's the scrutiny that we're under, and like it's a bad, you know, you make one fuck up and then it's the end of your career. But like while trying to take that avenue, he totally exposed himself as being like a horrible racist.
Yeah.
it's like, that part of your argument's right, but the rest of it,
I think it was very, like, there was something true in there about like how everybody jumps on someone for
but that's such a small argument. That's such a small part of his larger argument where he's like, no, let's just be real here, the Jews.
Although he does actually give himself one out, which is that he's joking.
Oh yeah, well,
like he said,
can't take a joke.
Yeah. Like, oh man.
He also said we're all hypocrites. He didn't say like you're a hypocrite.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
I don't know.
I mean, he's right that everyone's a hypocrite. Like anyone who's jumping on whoever the fuck for saying whatever the fuck, you know, we all live with some bit of hypocrisy in the things that we get, you know, self-righteous about. That doesn't mean that the things that people get self-righteous.
He picked
about
the wrong things to use as examples when he's like, we're all kind of hypocrites and we're getting self-righteous about how the blacks are all made out of mud.
It's
like, wait, what?
Yeah, it's a little bit like, because it's one thing to be like, listen, we've all gotten drunk and said the N-word, because like, I think 99.9% of white people in America have all gotten drunk and just been like, you know, in the safety of their white friends might have gone, hey, yo, N-word. And then everyone starts laughing. You know, like that is something that I think in 2014, it's still something that people do, you know?
But all of the stuff he uses
you
examples.
You say to get a rise out of your white friends. You don't like tell someone like, hey, watch out for those N-words.
Yeah, exactly. You're doing it because like, guys, we're not allowed to say it. Yeah. But oh my God, isn't it the most fun? And as like a white male privileged cisgendered person, it's really fun to do alone and with white people.
It's like our version of a country club.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, guys, N-words. And
that's sad.
As opposed to it being like, all right, guys, let's be real, this N-word president, you know, where yeah, you're all of a sudden you're making this bigger political point. Or
one's a joke and one's not, and he's got the wrong one.
Right. That's a weird thing. He keeps saying joke. I don't think he knows what a joke is.
And so, like, so I don't really enjoy how we have to track down the one redeeming part of his shitty argument.
Yeah.
Like, why are we defending him?
Oh,
like, we're not attacking him. Like, we're not being politically correct police. We're not like, oh, look at Gary Oldman.
Well,
you are kind
we weren't.
Of, but.
They did, though.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
The ADL immediately came in and was like, you have to apologize.
But at the same time, like, why don't...
they said, that wasn't a good enough apology.
Yeah, but...
Fuck the ADA.
Fuck everyone. Like, it's the dude on the bridge and the film guy filming him, and then they get in a fight, and I'm like, I just wish, like, a semi-sideswiped you both, and I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that one.
The ADL is a bunch of fucking... They're a bunch of fucking...
What's the AD? What's the ADL? That's a politically correct thing?
Anti-defamation league.
Oh,
they're charged with specifically finding any instances of anti-Semitism in...
Oh, it's just anti-Semitism?
Just anti-Semitism.
They're the Jewish version of GLAAD or PETA, where it's
right,
like...
Yeah.
They have, like, one... small thing that they do that's kind of good, but mostly it's like sort of self-aggrandizing, publicity thing.
And you know, like PETA or GLAAD or any of those things, if they can find instances, it's a good thing. It's
good for business. Yeah, because they want to get PR.
Exactly.
And, they're writing them.
And I'm not saying that what any of those organizations are doing is wrong. Like, how dare they do it? There's got to be someone out there doing it. The problem is with these...
Well, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I mean, I think that they do serve a kind of important function, which is that, like, there's, like, someone out there whose job it is to go, like, don't fucking, like, spread that. Don't spread your propaganda and your weird bullshit. And I think, you know, it's an organization that says, you know, you're a jerk if you say this stuff. Or you're a jerk if you hurt animals. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, I think
just the part where they appoint themselves, like, you have to apologize
to us.
Yeah. We are the representative of everyone who might possibly be offended.
Yeah, which is...
And total, we're going to say whether it's offensive or not. And it's like, no, you don't really get to do that.
I saw a documentary on Abe Foxman. I think he's, like, the president of the Anti-Defamation League, and he's just kind of a jerk off.
Yeah.
Like, the guy is he was on camera saying, like, it's actually really great. It's a movie called Defamation. You should check it out. It's a good documentary. And he's on camera saying, you know, the one thing we can use to our advantage, the one way we use anti-Semitism to our advantage, is for some reason countries, smaller governments, they want to meet with me because they think I have some sort of power. They think I have like I'm the president of the Jews.
Yeah.
And they
you can stop the witchcraft.
Right, exactly.
No, you're cursed, man. You're fucked.
And there was,
who shrunk my penis?
I mean, he said this with the camera on, too. And I'm like, do you know the camera's on? Like, what are you doing? Like, you sound crazy. And it's funny, too, because then they show him in a meeting with, I forget, like, you know, what country it was. And his whole thing is to be like, so what are you doing to curb the anti-Semitism in your country? And they're like, well, we're doing this and this and this. And then he'll be like, you know, those are good steps, but you got to do more. And it's like, that's just what he does.
That's
and
what he says.
It's a weird job.
I have a hard time coming out in opposition of oppositional groups.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where it's like, I don't agree with the politics of opposition because you create perverse incentives where, like, you need the thing that you're fighting against or else you disappear.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
You don't want to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want the Anti-Defamation League, so you're going to need some defamation.
Right.
And you create this, like, nasty ecosystem of outrage.
It's like Jezebel versus Barstool Sports dynamic.
But, like, the
you
moment
you guys need each other,
the moment you come out, like, where you're like, Jezebel sucks, like, you're also kind of giving fuel to jerk offs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, you
that's
definitely like don't want to give fuel to those jerk offs.
Yeah,
oh, for sure.
So,
like, if you're articulate and you're like, "Wow, this is a stupid stance," and, like, this whole ecosystem is toxic, you don't want to be too articulate because then people are like, "Yeah, also women are all bitches."
Yeah, right. Yeah,
like, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to, like, find
it's better to have no opinion at all.
Yeah, really. I definitely agree with the you guys can both get hit by trucks argument. So here's the next part of this. Here's Gary Oldman's apology. Now, the first time I read this, I thought it was genuine. And then on a second read, I'm like, ooh, maybe he's kind of being a dick about this. But
all right.
So, dear gentlemen of the ADL, I am deeply remorseful that comments I recently made in the Playboy interview were offensive to many Jewish people. Upon reading my comments in print, I see how insensitive they may be and how they may indeed contribute to the furtherance of a false stereotype. Anything that contributes to this stereotype is unacceptable, including my own words on the matter. If, during the interview, I had been asked to elaborate on this point, I would have pointed out that I had just finished reading Neil Gabler's superb book about the Jews in Hollywood, An Empire of Their Own, How the Jews Invented Hollywood. The fact is that our business, and my own career specifically, owes an enormous debt to that contribution. I hope you will know that this apology is heartfelt, genuine, and that I have an enormous personal affinity for the Jewish people in general, and those specifically in my life. The Jewish people, persecuted through the ages, are the first to hear God's voice and are surely the chosen people. I would like to sign off with Shalom Aleichem, but under these circumstances, perhaps today I lose the right to use that phrase, so I wish you all peace. The first time I read it, I was like, yeah, it seemed actually pretty genuine and kind of like not like a canned PR speech.
Yeah, that does seem kind of genuine.
But then the one sentence that I'm like, the Jewish people, persecuted through the ages are the first to hear God's voice and are surely the chosen people.
Yeah.
I'm like,
he's super
sarcastic.
Christian, isn't he? So he's like, at least you guys are kind of on my side.
Yeah, I guess. Hmm. But then,
he's no Buddhist, I'll tell you that much. Those guys are a fucking joke. Can you take a joke?
So then Abe Foxman is like, we've just begun a conversation with his managing producer. At this point, we are not satisfied with what we have received. His apology is insufficient and not satisfactory.
It's just weird.
First,
there was no
PC police at first, and then now it kind of feels like there are because they're like they're like apologize, then he apologized, and they're like, no, that's not good enough.
Yeah,
and you're kind of like, all right, now you're kind of just playing into like the one part of his argument that was kind of true.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little weird, and maybe that's just the way the ADL works. Is like we're gonna hound you about this. You're gonna have us not accepting your apology hanging over your head until you do something.
Unless you do something like like Brett Ratner did when, you know, he said rehearsal is for fags, and then he immediately, because he's like the best kiss ass in the world, that's kind of like his
kiss
skill.
A boy.
He got an award like the next year because he's like, you know, just bent
so
over
good.
Backwards and just like, I'll do whatever you want, Glad.
Yeah. Oh man. Fuck both of them though. Damn it, I hate that. You know, because he said in his apology that reading it in print changed it. Maybe there was like a sense of irony when he was talking to the interviewer.
Yeah, I totally get that you can say something, have it removed from context, and be made to be a villain.
Yeah, especially, I mean, in print.
But he gave a decent amount of context there.
He did.
Like, that was like a whole paragraph, and none of it was very good.
But maybe he was doing like the jerk-off
motion while he was
saying the words.
There might be a missing piece, but why do we need to find that? Like, I don't care enough to try and find some redeeming feature in Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, he's a fucking actor. He's like 60 years old. Maybe he's a little racist. I don't know.
It's a good
I don't
point.
Really care. Do we really have to be like, apologize right now because you've like, you know, you've
the
done
only,
something.
The
like,
only way to
okay,
opt
he's
out.
He's a fucking old man who gives a shit.
Yeah, yeah,
The
yeah.
only way to opt out of this fucked up like spectacle of outrage is to just not care enough.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, that's a dick move. Maybe I'll think twice about seeing his movie. Like you can play a little bit into capitalism, but not quite too much.
Like, or I could just maybe, be like, I'll see his movie, but maybe I won't like, you know.
Worship him the way I
used
to.
Yeah, I won't like listen to everything he says. Like he's a fucking oracle.
Yeah, and that's
he's an actor.
And that's the thing is like if you're, I feel like that's justice in and of itself. If like, hey, if you say some comments that you know, like a lot of people listen to and think are fucked up, and now all of a sudden those people don't think you're the greatest actor in the world, or that ruins. Yeah. Well then.
Because he shouldn't. Your life. Enough. Your life shouldn't be very Gary Oldman based to begin with.
Right.
If you're heavily weighted towards Gary Oldman based decisions, like you might already have lost, and that his fall from grace probably shouldn't affect you that much.
Yeah.
I just hope, dude. If Daniel Day-Lewis fucking does that, fuck, dude. I like.
Well, here's the thing about Daniel Day-Lewis.
You know, he's a super weirdo.
He's good because he's crazy. Like, you don't ever want to fucking hang out with that guy. He's a nut. Like,
Gary?
That's why. No.
Oh, Daniel?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. I call him Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah, DDL.
Yeah. Dude. Fucking DDL is the king of actors.
Daniel Revolution.
Oh man, yeah, that's fucked. I thought it was gonna be more like,
yeah,
what Mel said wasn't that bad. He was joking, so you know. Then I'd be like, actually, I don't think he was.
Well, I think he had a good point about hypocrisy, but the part where he's like, we've all said those things. And it's like, okay, we've all maybe said the N word, but we probably haven't like told the mother of our children that she should get raped by them.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, the whole like him talking about the Jews running the media or Jews running Hollywood is something that is hard to even broach without sounding
like Tila Tequila.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like there's got to be a PC way to address the fact that there are many Jewish people in Hollywood.
Like I said, he said Jews run Hollywood. He didn't say the Jews run Hollywood. But I think it's a very specific. I don't know if he meant it that way, but I feel like one is true and the other one not true.
Right.
Is it the interconnectedness? Like the Jews all talk to each other, like, and decide who's in
or
who's out?
Some cabal. It just happened. I mean, it doesn't just happen, but they're like, there's a bunch of them that are doing it, but they're not like.
Good luck with this one.
They haven't made like, you know, they're not like setting, they're not like price fixing or anything.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? It's not like they're the fucking elders of Zion.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the point that needs to be made when you make the point that there are Jews in,
but do you really need to be making that point?
Well,
ever?
That's the thing.
Is there ever a reason to make? Can you say anything smart starting with, you know, the Jews run Hollywood?
I think it's like if the context is in defense of a guy who's getting shit on for it, all you can say. I mean, obviously, you can say, well, why did he start that to begin with? But then if you're gonna like go beyond that, you can go like, well, you know, there's like some truth to it, but not in a conspiracy theory way.
There's
lots of Jews in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's like saying there's Chinese people, lots of Chinese people that run laundries. It's not like,
right,
oh,
exactly.
The Chinese control the laundries.
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's a weird thing to talk about.
There were shots fired before Mel ever got arrested. I mean, he did make an entire movie about how the Jews killed Jesus.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't think Mel needs defending. Mel's deep really enough underground. He has shoveled himself so deep where it's like he's safe down there. Just let him play.
Let him play in the dirt.
Did you guys see the Beaver, though? The Beaver movie?
No.
It's actually great.
Really?
It sounded fucking horrible. I saw part of it.
What I liked about it is I just like, as much as... You know, Mel Gibson is an asshole. He's fucking great at acting.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't give a shit what actors think. I don't give a fuck.
The less I know about their beliefs, the better.
Daniel Day-Lewis was Hitler. At least he's not. He's out there acting. You know, he's not actually killing anyone. I don't give a shit.
I mean, it's just like
he's a method actor, though. You know, someone's
true.
Dead.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, I just I feel like that movie, it just reminded me. I was like, you know, because it wasn't the greatest movie ever, but it was actually pretty good.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I heard about that movie and I thought it was the most awesome concept ever because I thought it was like a high concept comedy.
Yeah.
And then the trailer came out and it was like this redemptive dramedy about him like overcoming alcoholism.
Yeah,
and I was like,
yeah.
I don't want to see that at all anymore.
Yeah, it's like this.
Yuck.
It actually kind of plays a lot like a... Bobcat Goldthwait movie, but without like the
jokes.
Without the jokes, yeah. Which
I don't remember. I know there's one or two that he headlined in. What's his main
Bobcat Goldthwait movie?
Yeah, what's the one I remember?
Yeah,
kind of?
He made World's Greatest Dad. World's Greatest Dad with Robin Williams.
Right.
Where
I didn't
son,
see that. But there was older. There's an older one that he did that was
the
one where you fucked your dog.
Shakes a Clown.
The dog. She fucked a dog.
I don't remember anyone fucking
Sleeping Dogs or something. Didn't he do that?
I don't know. He also did God Bless America.
That one looked fucking horrible, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, it looked really like we're trying to be edgy, but we totally kind of missed the mark.
Well, it's funny that you say it looked like it missed the mark, because I was very excited for it, but they did. They missed the mark.
Yeah.
Which is too bad.
I saw like a couple scenes. I was like, ooh, I don't like
it. It's a movie about like two guys just killing basically killing
Sleeping Dogs Lie.
Reality TV stars. And
yeah.
Shit. And like all the like scum that you like secretly want to kill.
Yeah,
I saw that.
I saw reviews of that and they were like, I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah, I mean it's super violent, but
the general consensus
was. I need to see this one. Yeah. A recently engaged woman's life is thrown into turmoil after confessing to her fiance that she once experimented with bestiality.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah, I haven't seen that either.
Anywho,
I like Bobcat though. Anyways,
yeah.
So Mel is anti-Semitic. That's
also Spike Lee.
What did he say about Jews?
Wait, didn't say is anything. This related to the story? This gets worse and worse.
No, this is a new one.
Okay, new story.
This is another on the subject of celebrities saying things that are kind of dumb.
Yes.
I feel like Spike Lee, I mean, I don't know if his cultural criticism was ever super great. I mean, I think he was the only game in town and he was sort of necessary at the beginning.
Yeah. Now there's more articulate people saying it better.
Yeah, I think his criticisms are all just sort of broad and sort of confused.
He
seems
very out of touch from what he might be commenting on these days.
He's kind of a fucking idiot, really. Like every time
I really didn't like the way he handled that guy's poster stuff.
He's a fucking moron, man.
What did I miss? What poster stuff?
Oh, the old boy, his company, maybe not him, stole a bunch of designs. Like they hired this guy on work for hire. And then they said they canceled it. They're like, no, we're not going to use any of these. And then like... all of his stuff.
He wanted some money, and they're like, no, you should just do it.
You should thank Spike for letting you do it. It's like they basically tried to rip off the same way everyone rips off artists, where they're like, it's great publicity. You put your name on it.
Yeah. Here's his response. Another thing about Spike Lee's tweets is he capitalizes every word like Jaden Smith. So even if he did say something smart, he just comes off like a moron.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of like, you
know.
So
this dude tweeted at him. He's like, hey, you know, at Spike Lee or whatever, you guys rip my posters off. Yeah. Can you help me
can
with
you
this?
Help me? Yeah.
It wasn't like, hey, fuck you. It was like, hey, can you tell your production company
to
in touch with me?
So Spike Lee's tweet is, and keep in mind, all these are capitalized. I never heard of this guy, Juan Luis Garcia. If he has a beef, it's not with me. I did not hire him. Do not know him. Cheap Trick writing to me, yo.
What?
Like, how dare he waste my time on this publicly accessible Twitter account?
Important. And without him writing that open letter, no one would have heard of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the guy was like totally right to do that because that's the only way anyone would have heard about it.
Perfectly handled on his part. I don't know if he got paid, but at least he got credit for it.
Like, yeah. Well,
the only way you see the posters now is next to his originals, which were better.
Yes. Agreed. So now, I think we played Spike Lee's Kickstarter a while back, but this movie's actually out. You know, it worked.
Is that the one where he was like really mumbly?
Yeah, it sounded like he was on painkillers or something.
Dropping the sharp consonants.
I think maybe that's it. Maybe he's on painkillers and he's a little bit addled. I don't know.
Oh, I want to hear this. I know what it sounds like.
I don't know. I mean, I have to go back to find the Kickstarter. I don't want to do that. So here's the quote. This is an article in The Wrap. It is a departure for the director. The movie's called The Sweet Blood of Jesus, by the way. It is a departure for the director.
D.A.?
D.A., yeah.
Okay.
I'm not just doing that to be racist.
Yeah, I just...
You never know.
Yeah, it's true.
You can never tell.
Joseph Shul, you
never N-word. Hey, guys.
N-word.
I like that that's maybe the crux of the party, like their invitations that go out. And everyone's like, oh, dear. Yeah. And they show up and they all huddle around. There's just like Matt in the middle. He goes, N-word.
And then everyone goes,
It is a departure for the director, half art film and half social commentary. Lee says that the movie acts in part as a metaphor for addictions of all kinds, which he posits are at an all-time high in America, but was clear about which he thought was the country's greatest addiction, violence. This country was founded on violence, Lee told The Wrap. Africans were brought here to this land, and then the genocide of Native Americans. That's the foundation upon which this country was built. It's simple, not taught in schools. We're taught some other stuff, and particularly how we're taught is through the media. And as African Americans, we were taught how barbaric Africa was with the Tarzan movies and whatnot, and the savages of the Native Americans in the many, many John Ford, John Wayne films. Lee also thinks it's only getting worse. And the NRA is responsible for it, he said. These video games are not helping either.
Jesus, he sounds like an old man.
He's rambly as fuck.
What the fuck, dude?
I definitely remember learning something about the Native Americans.
Yeah. It was like half of college?
Yeah, well, elementary school. Yeah.
I definitely learned a lot about the Native American genocide. But hey, you know what? Sure, there's no harm in learning more about it.
So then this other part is, what is the future of this movie? You financed it online. Would you release it online like a VOD situation? I understand that the game has changed. My wife and I had this running discussion.
My wife. Sorry.
Imagine. He looks so ashamed right now, like he pooped on the carpet.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. I was just imagining Spike Lee in the middle of, you know, just talking about something very serious. And then when he says, my wife, he decides to do a Borat. My wife. All right, good.
I understand that the game has changed. My wife and I had this running discussion. She does not like the fact that I watch stuff on DVD. She wants me to do Netflix, where you, what do you call it, stream it? Why are you still buying CDs? She watches everything streaming. I just want something in my hand. As a filmmaker, I don't want my film to be seen on an iPhone. I understand the convenience. Even a TV is fine, but this? It hurts me. Nowadays, there are very few repertory theaters that show old stuff like there was when I was in film school. We'd always go see stuff. So a lot of the stuff, you're not going to see it the way it was meant to be seen, projected. So I'm glad people are watching Malcolm X, but the first time you see it, it's on your iPhone?
I don't think...
Yeah, he's just...
I don't think he uses that much technology, I think.
Well, which, he had a really hard time. I think while he was kickstarting, he had a hard time with the concept of kickstarting. Because he didn't really describe what he was doing. He just said, I'm Spike Lee, remember my stuff?
Yeah, he just read his IMDb page.
Yeah.
That's really...
It's really weird.
It's really strange.
But I think it's just like normal grandpa weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's strange that he did a Kickstarter even. He just decided he wanted to.
Didn't he say something about like his students told him he had to do this?
Yeah.
Like, I think it comes up in the Kickstarter.
He teaches at film school?
NYU, I think.
Oh, all right. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. He just seems like he's out of touch and maybe not so relevant.
And crazy. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know if he was always like that or if it's just he would just was the only game in town for a while. I mean, he's made like some movies that are all right.
Oh, yeah. He's made a bunch of movies that are good. I mean,
like
he's.
What?
Well, he made Malcolm X is great.
Malcolm X is great until the ending, which is really dumb.
Well, he dies at the end.
No, after that, where all the little kids are jumping up and shouting.
But
he's super
theatery in general. Like, there's always some like so weird
like
spoken word
poetry,
piece.
Yeah.
So you just have to accept that with the territory.
Yeah, I mean, I can handle that. That's the Spike Lee moment.
But I agree, that's a good movie. That's
and then
one of his best.
White Man, He Got Game. I love that movie.
I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, He Got Game is super good. I like Do the Right Thing.
It's good for what it is, but
it's. We did the. You were on that show when we watched it, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting. I didn't view it obviously at the time because I would have been what like 10.
Yeah.
But like, it's super interesting as a historical artifact. I don't know that I've enjoyed it as a movie.
Artistically, I don't think it's.
It benefits from
it does
history.
Some things
like it
really
looks,
well.
It looks great now looking back on it. I don't know if I would have been into it.
But it is very like everything does feel like a slam poet.
It's all cartoonish and it's.
I liked Inside Man.
So like his.
Oh yeah, I heard that was good.
His opinions seem very
maybe
cartoonish
from you.
Too.
Yeah. Inside Man is great. Yeah. And he has another one that I'm just spacing. Oh,
25th.
I actually haven't seen that, but I want to. Even though it's super heavy-handed, I like Bamboozled.
Oh, I didn't like Bamboozled.
That's the one with the Tommy Hilfiger jeans ad in it.
That's right.
That ad was like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah. I mean, but that's the whole movie is like
really rambly.
It's like just sort of like his approach to satire is just like a fucking shotgun. You know what I mean? It's not sharp at all. It's just like a dull.
Where they execute him on TV though, that was a little.
Thing is over the top.
No, but that was a little. Preview with the
what?
Word where you're
prescient.
Yes, thank you. Prescient. Because it was pre 9/11, I think, right? It was right before 9/11, and then the whole like it was very much like the future of violence is on TV and you're gonna watch this guy get shot and everyone's gonna tune in.
Yeah, but people have been saying
that was super dark.
People,
and I was like, oh, that's
people have been
remember
saying that
being
for like 50 years though.
Yeah, but this was I don't know. I remember that being that scene. I was like, oh, that's disturbing and kind of well done. The rest of the movie was kind of overblown.
And in the context of when I saw that movie when I was in high school. And for me, it was like one of those movies that was like, oh, my God, this whole black stereotype minstrel show type thing is going on still. It's just in a new, there's new caricatures.
And so
for me, that was like, oh my God, I never knew that until I saw the Spike Lee movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, I was 15, you know. Mm-hmm. I was so dumb then, but now I'm smart. But yeah, I
Spike Lee from the Republic of Brooklyn, New York.
What?
You're giving commentary on whether or not he's on pills.
Yeah, definitely.
We're in that 30-day grind to build history, to make our goal the 1,250,000.
Was that a rhyme?
I was doing Kickstarter before there was Kickstarter.
Yeah, he seems...
It was social media was writing letters, making phone calls, shaking hands. This is not necessarily new to me, going out there and trying to rally the troops.
He's,
dude, he is fucked up for sure. Like, his lips aren't moving as fast as his, like, his lips are like lagging behind his speech.
It seems like he's a little bit fucked up on something. Did he have a stroke recently?
I don't know, maybe.
He's got the kind of like the stroke thing going on, but if he didn't have a stroke, he's for sure. It's either that or maybe he's trying to sound
mobilize
like a poet or something. Like maybe he's trying to.
But poets don't slur, dude.
They don't. But like if you try hard enough to sound like a poet, maybe you have a stroke.
Like the act of poetry strokes you out.
She's gonna have it. Was
the realness just gets lodged in the bottom of your brain?
But we never had that money in one lump sum. So I was making phone calls. I was writing letters.
He also looks like he's about to pass out.
Yeah,
the whole time.
He does. He looks like he's nodding out a little bit, but he's awake. Yeah, he could be on drugs. I don't know. I wish I was an actual expert and be like, guys, let me tell you all the signs.
Maybe he had a stroke. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you just type in Spike Lee's throat?
Yep.
That's great. I love the internet so much.
You'd think. No. Doesn't look like it.
Can you type in Vince Mancini stroke?
Yeah, do it.
I just want to see if...
It's going to be about me stroking myself.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of pictures. It's a photo gallery of you.
Nah,
there's
all,
a GIF.
It's all The Godfather Part 3.
Oh, sweet. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. I mean... You're named after a great character in a bad movie.
He came after me.
Well, yeah, I know
that. Yeah. Well, whatever, man.
Hey, but I love Vincent Mancini.
Thanks.
Oh, I meant.
Oh, you mean
Andy Garcia?
Oh, that fucking sucks.
He's great. Andy Garcia did such a great job. I just wish that, you know, they had like not made
that movie.
Well, the script's so unnecessarily complicated.
I haven't seen that movie since I was like 12.
Really? You never wanted to watch it again to see if maybe you were wrong about like disliking it?
I guess. I just remember it being really long, too.
See, I love all the Godfather movies, and I've seen The Godfather 3 probably more than I've seen the first two. Because
I've seen the other two a lot.
I've tried to... every viewing I go, this is the viewing where I'm going to be able to get it. And
you're working at it.
I'm working at trying to understand.
Get it? Why? Like,
like it's a very complicated idea. Like everything that they're doing and trying to like the problem with the movie is like all the backstabbing that happens with like the bishop and the deal that they're cutting Michael into, but doesn't include the mob. Like all that stuff is really hard to get upon the first, I'd say, 17 viewings.
Really?
Yeah. For me, it was I couldn't follow it. I've never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd have to go back and watch it again.
You make me want to watch it again. So if I could see, maybe now I can follow it.
I'm trying to remember if maybe I didn't follow it and I just didn't remember that.
I'd be surprised. It's like trying to follow Star Wars Episode 1. You know what I mean? I mean, beyond the like, I'm not talking about the pod racing stuff like that, but like what's going on with the Trade Federation exactly? The Trade Federation is...
But do you think there is something or do you think they just yada yada? I feel like the writer just yada yada
and
that's
you're
trying to like...
No. I don't think anyone ever yada yadas. I think...
Oh, yeah, they do.
I don't really think... Not people who are writing something meaningful or trying to. I think
people yada yada all the time.
I think what happened is there's too much content first for things where they're like, they see like this huge vision of this huge interconnected story that totally makes sense to them, and then they try to.
You're gonna chalk it up to poor editing and not poor storytelling.
Well, I think you're right. It's both. I think you're right in The Godfather, because that's coming from a book where there probably is a lot more complicated there, and they have to try and boil it down.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not sure that's true in the case of like
George
Star
Lucas.
Wars.
I think I get the feeling that George Lucas created the universe, then wrote the script.
Can you imagine how terrible the parts are that he left out?
Oh, I can't even. I don't. It's not just terrible, but boring. Like,
yeah,
it's
just
like
super mundane. Like, not in an interesting mundane way. There's the moments where you're like, oh, that's a real slice of life in the space.
Right, exactly.
But not like that, where he's just like, and here's, it's like the first part of the Bible where it's everyone's grandpa. It's like, no one cares if your grandpa is.
Or the second book of the Iliad, where it's like everybody who's, it's just a list of people coming from which places.
Thanks, that's really helpful.
It's like trying to read like the Silmarillion and realizing I actually don't care that much about Lord of the Rings enough to read this.
You find your threshold for giving a fuck about the fantasy universe.
I stopped giving a fuck halfway through Return of the King. Or no, the Two Towers, sorry.
Oh, well, that's a great...
I think I gutted out the Two Towers. And
I started the first one. I read The Hobbit, and I liked The Hobbit.
The Hobbit's great.
I started on the...
The Fellowship of the Rings is alright, too.
Don't care at all.
Yeah. I was like, Hobbit, awesome. Fellowship, okay, decent. And then, like, The Two Towers, I was like, alright, I don't think I care anymore.
Yeah. It's a lot to read about things that don't matter. that's the problem.
And about repetitive things that don't matter.
Right, yeah. It makes me want to read... like George R.R. Martin stuff, but the problem is they make such a good TV show that I know.
So I know there's probably a couple of opinions about Lord of the Rings books versus Game of Thrones books versus shows, but here's the thing. There's lots of shitty fantasy novels out there. Yeah. There's only one fantasy TV series that's the worldwide sensation that it is. Like, I kind of don't need to read a book about dragons at all, ever. Exactly. Again. Like, I cleared that shit in junior high. Like, I read a bunch of books about dragons. Dragons are my thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to read, like, 100 books about dragons. And then immediately I was like, all right, we're done. Purge. No more dragons.
Yeah. The way I look at it is I'm a slow reader. So, like, if I'm going to read something... it's not
going to make sure it's worthwhile.
I'm not going to read something that there's a TV show out there doing it so perfect that I'd be dedicating 90% of my ingesting media life to one story.
Yeah.
So it would be like I'd spend months and months and months and months reading all of Game of Thrones. And then once I finished, I would then spend, you know, a couple months, 3 months watching Game of Thrones. And it's just like, I don't need to do that. I could simultaneously watch Game of Thrones and read like a James Baldwin novel that I've never read, but was supposed to in college. You know what I mean?
Totally. And this is normally not like, I feel you have to give credit to the original material. Cause if it's like, if it got popular, it's probably better as whatever. Like,
right.
But like, I don't really give a shit about fantasy novels.
Yeah.
And it's like, you'd have to write the best fantasy novel
ever. I think
ever,
that's what he did.
But I don't know that he did, because there's a lot of stuff in there that's all still about dragons. And it's hard.
But I like that he just paints himself into a corner doing medieval history shit, and he's like, yeah, but then the fucking dragons came. And you're like, all right, well,
there was going to be the rise of the Roman Church. Someone pitched that as what happens in one of the books for this season, and I didn't see any fucking rise of the Roman Church.
That was the fire god.
Yeah, but there's two scenes in this season.
Well, look, there's going to be more fire gods.
Yeah, there's going to be more seasons. Don't worry about it. It'll happen.
I want kind of mimicking the
annoying
real world
thing about fantasy novels is that people still continue to write them as if
there weren't
such a limiting
pile of them.
It's such a limiting, like, I get it. They're all allegories to political things that are going on, but it's such a limiting thing. It's like, I feel like if you're going to, you know, makes science fiction is way better
or just
at it.
Wing it, you know. Yeah. You don't just need to include it. If I ever see another elf in any sort of medium, I just like,
well,
fuck you.
That's the thing. It's not the fact that it's fantasy. It's the fact that they're using the same like create. They're using the same mythical creation. It's like, yeah, you can create literally anything. Why are you writing about like an elf or a vampire?
It speaks to a fundamental problem in human imagination that they're just like, I don't want to learn about new things. Tell me about the elves again.
Right. Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
Yeah. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that it just sells so well that.
I mean, it's symbolism, and you come with your assumptions about what elves do, and they're pretty, and they live in the forest, and like you can relate to that. It's like watching Two and a Half Men, and that's what pisses me off about it, because you're like, I know what to expect from a situational comedy.
Yeah.
So last week we talked about how Laramie donated to Zach Braff's Kickstarter.
Good for him.
And Zach Braff left him an outgoing voicemail.
Which was expensive, I think. That was a high tier, wasn't it?
I thought it was really funny. But all right, I'll just play it, and then I'll talk about it.
Hey, Brad, this is Zach Braff. Laramie wanted me to tell you he loves your equivocations, even though he himself generally favors crushing it. Toodles, y'all!
I just like...
Have
you ever heard...
It's like a Chinese puzzle box of dorksiness.
His Cottonelle commercials, I think, that Zach Braff voices.
Like the toilet paper?
Yeah.
I didn't know he did that.
When he's doing voiceover, he does this thing where he becomes like a complete caricature of himself, and it's really funny. And like,
is this a straight-laced toilet paper commercial, or is it like an ironic joke commercial?
Hey, Brad, this is Zach Braff. Laramie wanted me to tell you he loves your equivocations, even though he himself... Hey, Brad, this is Zach Braff. Laramie wanted me to tell you he loves your equivocations.
If you do that a few more times, he's going to start sounding like Kermit the Frog.
Favors crushing. Do it again.
It's so much Brad better that way.
Brad, Zach Braff. Laramie wanted me to tell you he loves your equivocations.
This is a little fold mouth on a hinge just flapping away.
That was on Scrumps.
It does sound like Kermit.
So I think Jay Baruchel kind of does the same thing in... How to Train Your Dragon, where it's like, I can't even watch it because he just does this weird fucking parody of his own voice.
Yeah, I've never seen those.
The first one was pretty good. That's what
people tell me that. And
it's the best non-Pixar thing I've seen in 3D animation.
Mm,
it's from the major studios.
Did you see Cloudy with a Chance of Meatball?
No, people seem to like that, though.
Some toilet paper is soft, but...
Uh-oh! Whoa!
Not very strong. While others are strong.
Oh, yikes!
But not very soft.
Jesus.
But Cottonelle Ultra Toilet Paper is both soft
a cartoon bear?
And strong.
No, he's a dog.
Just what I need.
He's a puppy. So that's interesting. This must have been before Zach Braff had options, right?
No. No, this is in like 2009.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
This is like prime post-Garden State era.
Yeah, no, this is like at the height of his fame.
That's so weird.
Not very comfy. That's not good. No, don't sit on it. Yep, that's gotta hurt. Ooh, careful. Yikes.
I didn't know that was Zach Braff the whole time.
Whoa. The world can be tough.
It's hard to make me hate a golden retriever puppy. you gotta really want it if you want me not to want to cuddle a dog. And I'm like, no, thanks. You keep it. Just keep that dog over there.
Yikes! Oh, don't sit on it.
Whoa. That's very strange, man.
I liked it. Oh, so we found out that Joe King's Ejack box has become a real thing.
Ejack.
Yeah.
Is the robot?
No, it's a Chinese.
It fucks you. You fuck the robot.
It's a Chinese automatic sperm extractor.
Oh my god!
That cost $2,800.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Not that bad.
Back then, the company that makes it, Sanwei Medical Company Limited, was advertising the product on their website with the awesome sales pitch. Quote, we consistently adhere to the service philosophy of customer is friend rather than God, and hope to provide users more benefits, more convenience, and more enjoyable healthy life with our superior quality products, thoughtful service, and absolute faithfulness.
That's the best pitch I've ever heard for a machine that sucks your dick.
Is this
wow.
Is this some get lost in translation there? Because friend rather than God. Because that sounds like something you say to before you kick a customer out of your McDonald's.
I think it's more just like, look, we don't want to tell you how to use your hand job machine, man. Oh. That's on you.
What the fuck?
Oh, God.
That's great.
The fucking cosmology that gave rise like, to gods of robot dick sucking. I want to be a part of that.
Is there a video of it being used?
There is. I don't know if it has audio though, so
that's okay. I got time.
I got a little aroused watching the video, and I don't like what that says about me.
Yeah. I like what it says.
You can react to it, I suppose.
All right. So I'll describe it. All right. So it's a fleshlight in what looks like a one of those like a weighing
like a kiosk.
Machines.
Yeah, it's a like a
Oh, there it is. Put your dick in it. Yeah. It's moving in and out. It's a self-moving fleshlight. Right now, there's a person putting their finger in it.
Seems like a bad idea.
It also has a little gripping thing on top where you can test your strength.
Yeah, it's got like a little meter.
At the circus.
Oh, God. What's like the unit of measurement for semen?
Oh, man.
Is it little drops? Is it a meter that fills up? Is it
so that thing actually it not only sucks your dick, but it stores the semen in a place where it can be.
There's a retrieval tank.
Oh, and then like,
yeah,
I really want to see.
It's just your mom's just down there. She's just snuck in.
I would love it.
Mom, get out of the robot, dick sucker.
I would love it.
It's not for you. Get out of here with the broom. You're poking her. She's behind it. Mom.
I would love it if they were.
It's for the Chinese. Get out of here.
If they were at a. Like a convention where they were showing all these like new medical.
Mom, get out of my Chinese hand job machine.
It costs $30,000. You don't even know how to use it.
She keeps coming in my room and playing with my stuff. She's messing up my settings.
You're touching all my dragon figures. This is my hand job.
All the knobs. I had them at just the right speed.
Just getting the settings wrong and then pounding on the kiosk.
I would love to see that at like a convention for a medical equipment where there's just a demonstration video and there's a female scientist and she's showing like a guy just using it and then everyone's looking, oh wow, that's really amazing, and at the end she takes out the bag of semen and just starts drinking it.
Or it's like a totally sterile show floor, all these medical doctors with business cards, and then the machine's just going unacknowledged, just like whack 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 whack. No one will make eye contact with it. Whack whack whack.
Oh man, that's honestly, I would love to have one of those.
I'd fuck a machine.
In a second.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
I'd fuck two machines
because it's not cheating.
The effortless machine features a massage pipe that can be adjusted to suit the height of the user.
Oh, for a second, I thought there was a second massage thing.
You barely got through the words massage pipe before I sent them money. I've got my checkbook out.
The effortless. Oh, sorry. All the gentleman has to do is plug in the freak.
The gentleman.
Take it to the robot.
Put your monocle in this monocle holder.
Oh, that's an added value. Plug in the
freak. You're not God, remember.
While it's sucking your dick, you are not
the
God.
Customer shouting,
we are only friends.
The customer's on the machine.
I'm a God. You are not God. I will drink your cum. What is my purpose?
Did you ever watch The Prisoner where he goes up against the giant computer? Yeah. And there's like, ask it any question, it'll tell you your future. And he says, why? And it explodes. Yeah. That's like my dick in that machine.
Do you believe in God? Would you like to have a body?
I am God.
All the gentleman has to do is plug in the frequency, amplitude, and temperature, and off they go.
Whoa, easy there, science doctor.
It's also fitted with a small screen for those feeling uninspired. Wow, this thing's great. I need me one of these. According to the director of the urology department at the hospital, the machine is designed to help individuals that are finding it difficult to retrieve sperm the old-fashioned way. Yeah.
Here's no fucking way are they finding it difficult to retrieve sperm the old-fashioned way.
Logistically,
it's a home It's mysterious.
It's a mysterious land.
So you're in a jerk off chamber.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that's okay, not. Okay. Maybe that's not.
Tell me more.
I'm there with you.
What am I wearing?
I pictured in my mind. So I'm in the jerk off chamber.
Maybe that's not the hottest place, and you can't manually jerk off, right? How's the robot gonna help? Like, is the robot gonna get you hard? Because if it is, double sold. I'll take three.
Yeah, you know that's a good question.
If you're still gonna be in the jerk off chamber,
I don't know.
Like they haven't. You go. Oh, maybe they sent it home with you.
No,
do you get to take it home and name it?
Yeah, you have to feed it first. Oh,
and you could like buy like a little castle for it, like you do with hermit crabs.
That'd be great if they came the next morning.
Around.
They came the next morning to pick it up, and in the thing of it's supposed to be just semen, but you also fed it spaghetti. And there's wine in there. Why is there wine and spaghetti in the cum bag?
He's my new friend.
Well, I'm a gentleman.
Just trying to fucking lady in the tramp with the robot dick sucker. Just pushing the meatball its way.
Oh, you have a healthy appetite, Charlene.
it's got the long blonde wig on at the fancy restaurant.
My, what a healthy appetite you have.
Oh, don't eat too much. You're going to get fat. Oh, my God.
Don't forget to leave room for semen, Charlene.
All of a sudden, it's in your bed. Good night, Charlene. Quack, 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 quack. Oh, you insatiable whore. She just wants it all the time, man. Look at her. Quack, quack. Oh, my God. That's...
Okay. And it hard cuts to her funeral, and they're lowering down.
No, it's
still trying to suck a dick.
It's your funeral, and she's doing
and she's
a eulogy
with the veil.
With she the goes veil. Up to the mic. Womp, 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 womp. Oh my God!
My stomach hurts.
Well, they should remake Lars and the Real Girl. With one of those Wonka machines.
Wonka machines.
Wonka, 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 Wonka. Oh, that's the funniest shit ever. Well.
We need to buy one of those.
Dude, seriously.
We should kickstart. Forget the gathering. Holy we shit. Need to kickstart a handjob machine.
We could get a fly mic in so that he could do a documentary about us just
fucking this machine.
Just yeah. It's like a love triangle. Or I guess it would be some sort of rectangle.
You could fly to China to try and trick them into thinking you're a doctor and then have some reasonable purpose for wanting this.
Yeah. God damn.
Just your glasses all crooked on your face on a clipboard.
I mean, how long before...
We've done many studies on
that. Before that machine is just everywhere, you know?
There should be one. In every, I mean, it's going to be like a toaster oven.
God damn, dude.
Everyone's going to have one.
I want one. I mean, the only problem with stuff like that, I imagine it'll be a lot like... You one of those back massage chairs right. You go into in the mall like
sharper
like,
image only
yeah like it does its thing like you know like you're like yeah I like when it shakes and fucking but like you can't replace going to a masseuse and having them massage your back like
that's
that
right.
Nothing feels better than that, so it probably feels pretty good, but at the same time you're like oh I wish it would talk to me a little bit, or I wish it would switch things up in not such like an obvious fashion.
It's got a monitor. You could have it read you bedtime stories and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe. Yeah, that's... God damn, though. Holy shit. Oh, I'm getting excited just thinking about it. What's the weirdest sex toy you ever bought?
Here's what I'd do. I'd buy the jerk-off machine, uh-huh. And then on its monitor, I'd play other pictures of the jerk-off machine operating.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's some meta shit.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest, like...
So I tested out a fleshlight when I worked at Adult Friend Finder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was weird because, you know, you're used to your hand.
Uh-huh.
And this, it's like this fucking 4-pound thing in your hand. And it's like,
yeah,
your
yeah.
speed's all off. You're like, you know, there's like a, uh-huh. It's a lot of lag time between the time you.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you've got latency.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about you, Brett? What's the weirdest thing you ever jerked off in there?
By myself? Yeah. I don't think I've ever used... I'm like...
You've never used
I'm
any
very
toy?
Organic. I don't even use lotion.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Brett's a dry guy.
I used to use lotion. I don't use lotion.
I've tried it. I don't enjoy it. It's strange to me. It's like I'm fucking a hand.
Well, you are.
Yeah, but...
Well, jacking off is like...
Yeah, it's different when I'm... Yeah.
It is, yeah.
How is the lotion making more like
lotion,
your fucking hand?
Lotion free, I'm jerking a dick. With lotion, I'm okay. fucking a hand.
Oh, that makes sense. Right, that makes sense.
All right, that makes sense.
The weirdest shit I ever bought, and guys, I'm just be real with you. I bought one of those like half asses.
Those things look pretty awesome. Cool.
Yeah, I bought one of those one time. It was like $120. And it had two holes, it had a butthole and a vagina hole.
The butthole costs extra, right?
I didn't look at
otherwise,
the
otherwise, it's like the suit pockets that don't open
just,
all the
he
way.
He just ran in with his eyes closed, slammed it down the counter and ran out.
Yeah.
He's not even sure it actually costs $120.
The thing about it is it's so heavy that it makes like the actual ass slapping sound that
it's like it's food grade silicone, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's very nice.
Food grade?
Yeah, you can eat it. Or
what?
You can use it to cook stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Like a spatula.
Okay.
It's
so, yeah. I'm just picturing like a bread bowl that you fuck and then you can finish the whole thing.
or at the same time, just eating like a Caesar salad out of its butt.
Yeah. But no, it was great.
Like, dude, it's food grade silicone. You can eat it. I was like, oh, I can fuck this thing and then eat all of it? That's awesome.
It's like fucking Wonka Land. Everything is edible.
Yeah, now I don't have to kill a hooker.
Walk.
Realm of pure imagination.
Yeah. But anyways, fuck that thing for a while. Cleaning you, that was a nightmare.
Where do you put that when you're not fucking it?
It was in my closet inside of a box, inside of another box, behind like five boxes. That's
labeled taxes.
That's the biggest question facing relationships today, by the way.
Where to put the things?
Where do you put that when you're not fucking it?
Where do you put your
well,
fuck
as soon
implements?
As I left home, as soon as I left home, I...
This was at your parents'?
Yeah, my parents' house, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This was not that long ago. This was like 4 years ago. This is
okay.
This is when I.
So they're not. They know what they're in for.
Oh yeah. I mean,
this wasn't like at like 13 where they're like, I have some concerns about young
Matt.
No,
I never had a. I mean, I didn't have $120 back then. Like this is back at a time when it was like I had just moved back home to get clean off drugs, and I was
gotcha.
Like,
you're like, well,
I was like,
I need another addiction.
I have some surplus money, and you know what?
Pussy.
I'm an adult, and so I just went to the Hustler Superstore in Hollywood. I'll admit, I also like I couldn't. Bear the thought of the person at the front counter thinking that I was buying this to fuck it.
Yeah.
So I also bought like the cheapest dildo.
And
I was like,
I was just this dildo and this fake butt.
Yeah, I was like, exactly.
They go together.
It's for a bachelor party. You know, I was like trying to convince them yeah. that it was for like a bachelor party. It's funny. I don't think I
for
even,
me and my friends.
I didn't even say it is the thing. In my mind, I was like, that's the rationale that she'll have. She will assume that because it'll be like throwing the dildo will just confuse the matter. Like she'll go, oh, it's definitely not fucking it. Nowhere in my mind did I go, she probably thinks I'm fucking this and shoving this in my asshole. I didn't go that far in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the old condoms and a candy bar trick.
Exactly.
In high school where you're like, I do this all the time. This is not awkward for me at all. I want this candy bar to eat now and the condoms are for later when I have sex
with
a girl.
I'm going to put the candy bar in the condom.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to smuggle them out of the country.
I'm
going to
fuck the Snickers so hard.
Yeah.
So I have a breaking news story.
Oh, no. Who's dead?
Actor Shia LaBeouf was escorted out of the Broadway musical Cabaret in handcuffs Thursday night, according to cast members and fans in attendance. The actor was allegedly disruptive during the first act of the Tony-nominated play, which stars Michelle Williams and Alan Cumming, then escorted out by police during intermission.
What the fuck?
Tony nominee Benj Pasek tweeted that he saw LaBeouf in tears while police escorted him out of Studio 54 in New York. Cast member Danny Burstead, meanwhile, wrote that LaBeouf was arrested on Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your place golf rack too. Also, to let you know, Shia LaBeouf has just been escorted from the building in handcuffs.
Oh, man.
I saw Cabaret.
Did you?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not a musical fan.
Isn't that about
Weimar
Republic?
Yeah,
or some
and
shit?
Where it was like all crazy fun party town. And it's like, oops, we let the Nazis.
Yeah.
The ending... I thought where it was going in my head, my version of the ending was way better than how it actually ended.
Yeah.
So
I had a metaphor. I was like, oh, I see where they're going with this. This is fucking good.
And it didn't
and then it was like, no, this is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was at the... I forget which museum is it. It's where the
Yad Vashem in Israel.
No, it's where the Gestapo building used to be in Berlin. Topography of Terrors, I think it's called. Anyway, okay. And so it's like got all these old Nazi pictures in the 30s, you know, at their rallies, and I totally picture it as like they're the Animal House frat party that are like, yeah, we got to get all these hippies out of Germany, you know, because it's like all this crazy cabaret fun party.
And yeah.
Like, there's all these like dickhead, you know, just Jews, conservative.
Go ahead, say it.
No, there's okay. Just like these really like conservative sort of like douchey frat dudes that are like pissed off about all the hippies and the queers and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah. And, you know. And then they actually got into power. They're like, what do we do now? And they're like, kill everyone. And everybody's like, holy shit, I thought these were just the drunk fun dipshits, you know?
Yeah. I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
You really must have absorbed a lot of that museum.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like,
I've just seen their old, like all the old pictures where I'm like, oh man, that looks like a frat party I've been to.
Yeah. It made the.
Except with swastikas.
It's like, not that different. Not yeah. That different. Oh. That's crazy.
What were you saying?
The Weimar Republic seemed fucking awesome. They're like experimenting with, I mean, before the
except
crazy
for the inflation,
but they were experimenting with like ways to fix it where they were non-inflationary.
Mm-hmm.
They were just like starting from scratch, man. They're like, fuck it, Germany's over. Let's just try some crazy shit.
Yeah,
and everyone's having a good time. The fucking Nazis ruined the whole party.
Yeah, I don't think they're having that good a time.
It was a little bit. Yeah. It's crazy, wild.
So you guys. You guys, we watched.
Fuck.
We watched.
Shia LaBeouf is going to tell you about how it's important that someone is peeing on a lawn somewhere.
Shia LaBeouf? What the fuck?
Shia LaBeouf.
No, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia.
Shia LaBeouf and Bono.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia
LaBeouf.
Shia
LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
Sorry, I had to play that.
That was fun.
Necessary yeah. Mention of Shia LaBeouf.
LaBeouf.
LaBeouf. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we saw Pain and Gain.
Yeah, we did. And it...
It had a silicone ass. I thought you were going to use that.
It did,
segue.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
remember
right.
Seeing that, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, he slaps it.
Yeah.
So, Brett, you said you liked it?
I'm slightly above neutral on it, which is the best I... ever said about anything
so
Bay has done,
bored.
Including the... Yeah, it's way too long. It needs
the
to be...
The pacing is so fucking
it
bad.
Needed to be it about so a 70-minute movie.
And it's just like, whenever he goes for a punchline, he's just so bad at going for
so
punchlines.
I feel really conflicted about liking this. And
it looks
and
great
it,
at times.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like layers. There's like a fractal layer as to how conflicted I am about this.
Yeah.
And... I think just in summary, it's that I don't know if he's, I don't know when they're playing dumb and when they're actually dumb.
Right.
And I don't know that about Michael Bay. I don't know that about the shots. I don't know that about Wahlberg. I don't know about the
Wahlberg,
true story.
Like the last third of the movie with Wahlberg was like, dude, who is directing this guy? Like there is no direction.
It's all.
He's just yelling the whole time.
Like it's just, I guess the stuff I like about The Rock in general, where it's like. He's charming, and he kind of like doesn't act that hard, and I like it better when he's playing kind of a ham. Mm-hmm. But like this was like, I don't know if this is the dumb version of irony, or if it's just so. Yeah, I feel weird about it because it's like he's like you don't know at what station the idiot train gets off.
Yeah,
because it's like there's like when he's like talking about to the kids about no homos. Like I laughed at that joke with Wahlberg in The Other Guys, and that was funny. But like here, I'm not sure Bay doesn't actually think that's funny in real life.
No, I know. And then, well, I just feel like, you know, I've always
I've seen Transformers, and his cutting edge views on race, gender, and sexuality are like an ADD 4-year old.
Yeah.
And so like I feel bad, kind of enjoying anything he does because he seems like he's just kind of a dipshit.
Yeah.
No, but
Wahlberg's like established as a dipshit.
Yeah. Well, I think they're both dipshits, but I think the thing that comes through most strongly is what I've always said about Michael Bay, where he sees like if he's just walking down the street, everyone's either a slut or a clown. Where he's like slut. slut, clown. There's a clown, like, clown, slut. And like, so like, you know, you got like the hot chick, you know, there's strippers all in the pool, but then in the hotel, there's like, oh, there's a midget, and the Rock holds him up and he's like kicking his leg.
Yeah.
And there's like the fag, there's a fag priest, and then like this and that, and everything. Everything's just, oh, look, there's a fat chick, and she's got a hairy pussy. And
fat chicks are the worst.
Fat chick with a hairy pussy, and Mark Wahlberg's
he's kind of an idiot, and I don't really like him, but at the same time...
He seems like a terrible person.
Yeah, that's the thing.
No, Michael
both.
Bay.
Yeah, Wahlberg is a... He blinded a fucking Vietnamese guy at like 16.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He blinded a Vietnamese guy?
Yeah, well, calling him gook or something, or calling him Vietnam fucking shit.
For fun?
Yeah, for fun.
For giggles.
They were fighting though, right?
No, it was just some dude and he blinded
beat
him.
Up an old Asian man.
But this
giggles.
Is back when he was Marky Mark,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pre Marky Mark.
Yeah.
So he was. I mean, I will say that's a piece of shit thing. Yeah, you should forever atone for that. But at the same time, I feel like he's not that guy anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, but fuck him.
All right, fair enough. I kind of want to cuddle with him is the thing. I think he's sweet.
He can't wrap around with his little arms. He's just like his trying to grab your wrist like a child.
Yeah.
I love The Rock, and I love everything The Rock does.
You know what's weird?
He's going to do something to disappoint me, and I'm going to feel really bad.
I thought you meant the movie The Rock.
No. The Rock. The Rock.
Yeah.
I love The Rock, too.
Yeah. Across all media. Everything he does, I'm like, high five, The Rock.
And
at some point, something's going to come out where I'm like, that's the monster that was hiding under there, but not so far. He's great in everything.
As I was watching that movie, though, so I have like this one traumatizing thing with The Rock where I saw the movie Southland Tales.
Oh,
I haven't seen that.
A terrible movie.
And like that movie is so long and bad.
It's profoundly bad.
It's I kind of want to see that.
The trailer made that look like this crazy meta thing where he's like, he's got fucking Justin Timberlake and Sarah Michelle Gellar and The Rock. And it's like all before they had cred as actual actresses actors. No, and it's like, oh, this is like kind of a commentary. There's a dance number in the trailer.
Yeah.
And then the actual movie's like, god awful.
It's unbelievably awful. And
boring.
It's the same thing. It's boring and it's segmented and you don't know. Nothing really connects in a way that you care about or makes sense. And that's kind of how I felt about this movie. So like an hour into it, I was like, I can't keep watching this stupid ass movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I got an hour and a half into it.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't finish the last 30 minutes. What happens at the end?
Spoiler alert. They get the death penalty.
Yeah, they do get the death penalty.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Wait, they get the death penalty?
Yeah.
They didn't kill the guy.
Well, there's another.
They kill another
guy. Yeah, they kill another guy, but it's okay because he's a clown and she's a slut. So you can laugh the whole
time
they
kill.
Exactly.
Some other people.
That's the thing. It's funny because the movie, I know he's going for this sort of dark comedy where like everybody's fucking terrible and like, isn't this a dark carnival of humanity, you know, sort of thing?
Yeah.
Which, in another director's hands, I think would be interesting. But the way Michael Bay shoots it, it's like he only knows how to make things look cool.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing that he... So it's like, oh, look, there's these guys murdering people. Isn't it fucking cool? And you're like... Ugh.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I think he wants to go to the Coen brothers' parties because he's got like a huge pull from their actor pool. Like, I mean, Totoro's in the Transformers movies on the regular.
Yeah.
This one's got, what's his face? I can never remember his name. He's the doctor with the penis shot, like, as a cameo. He's non Buscemi Fargo criminal who I used to know his name.
The wood chipper guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Carl Hungus.
Yes.
Carl Hungus,
That's not his real name.
No, right. It's not.
the porno.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fixed the cable.
Name. Yeah. He's in it, I think, and this was very much a Coen Brothers-esque dark caper.
Right, except with Michael Bay fucking score. He scored the movie completely wrong.
But there's the scene where they're cutting up the body to Rolling Stones that is straight out of a Scorsese movie.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I enjoyed this more than I liked The Lady Killers, which is fucked up that this has happened to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like the place that I'm at where that's the thing I would say.
Sometimes the Coens do things
Peter
wrong.
Peter Stormare, that's his
Yes,
name,
thank
yeah.
you.
Coens do things wrong.
Yeah, they're not infallible. Yeah. They're about half and half.
Well, I don't know about that. They're about...
I didn't like Blood Simple. Go fuck yourselves.
Yeah, but Blood Simple is...
It's like their first movie.
It's like their first movie, and it's pretty good. Fuck you. I'm sorry. I like Blood Simple.
I don't love Barton Fink.
I don't love Barton Fink.
I don't know if I saw that. I enjoyed Unquestionable Cruelty. Unnecessary.
Yeah, I think Intolerable Cruelty is vastly underrated. People say it's bad. It's not. I don't think that's a bad movie.
Hudsucker Proxy is pretty good, but it's like.
But it gets a lot of street cred. More street cred than it deserves.
Yeah, I think people.
Whereas Raising Arizona is fucking amazing.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
I think people think Hudsucker Proxy is good solely because it's quirky, and you're like, but it needs. Yeah. It's still missing something.
Here's the thing. Do you think Michael Bay wants to fuck holes in walls? Because he did that shot where he like CG flies through a hole in the wall in a very sexual manner multiple times throughout this thing. Where he's like in and out and in and out. It's The Rock and he's talking on the phone. And it's out, but it's a different same shot.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit like maybe. I mean, it's all kind of sexual with him. Like, he definitely wants to fuck those Transformers. There's like a perversion that overlays everything he does.
He wants one of those Wonka machines.
Have you noticed that
he would marry the Wonka machine?
It's never like a guy like woos a chick. It's always some like slut who's got to have it. Like, you know, he's getting his dick worked on, and she's like, "Oh, I like black men. You like fuck me? Yeah." You know what I mean? Where it's just like it just comes out of nowhere, and there's so many things like that in his movies where the girl, like there's some clown that wants to fuck a slut.
Yeah, I think that's what that's really what he wants to film, is a clown fucking a slut.
Yeah,
and like it's all going to be chroma keyed, so that it's all teal and bright orange, and just like and shot from real low as like fucking planes drop bombs on them.
Now,
right at climax.
The plane thing I think is interesting too, because one thing I noticed is that. He has that shot where there's a character filmed at a low angle who looks up as a plane flies over.
Yeah.
That's in every, like I watched.
He did that in this too, didn't he?
Yeah. He did that in this. It was in Bad Boys. It's got to be in Con Air a few times.
Yeah. It's usually like a kid or something. And he's like, hold the teddy bear as he looks up.
So he's either shooting up at a plane or he's in a plane circling the character shooting down at them.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Planes are pretty great.
Yeah. The island was on cable the other day, and it was just.
Is that Michael Bay?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
There's one scene where they're just like walking up a mountain, and he's just like circling them in a helicopter for no reason. So it's just like them with the background constantly shifting around him.
Yeah,
he does that all the time.
This is the only time where watching one of his films, I didn't imagine his shrill, nasally child voice screeching in my ear.
Yeah,
because like even the trailers for Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the dinosaur's gotta have teeth. No more teeth. Oh, that's badass. It just grinds in the back of my skull. Like I imagine him as just this fucking spazzy little. I just want to strangle him to make him be quiet. Just no more robots.
Just smothering him in his fucking crib.
Yeah.
It's weird because I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I hate his movies, but I love him. There's part of me that just loves Michael Bay because he's like a pro wrestling character.
No, there's nothing about him that's good.
This
which is weird. This film was okay. It was above average.
I mean, the over the.
I didn't hate at any point. Was I like, this is terrible? I wish I were dead.
Really? Oh, yeah. The court scene in the end.
I kind of liked it where he leans over. And it's like we got this because they're holding up the chainsaw with the DNA evidence.
No, but when
I have to
what's
know
her face?
Who do they kill? Spoiler alert.
The guy that The Rock bumped into at the club, and he's like, "That guy's a douche."
Oh yeah, that guy.
They kill that guy.
The guy who they introduce an hour into the movie.
Yeah.
He also never communicates the like how bad their plan is. Like, what the fuck was their plan?
It's not executed well, but for some reason it was enjoyable. Not enjoyable, but like I didn't hate it.
I'll watch it. It's
a cable TV movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a rental. It's not a stream. It's a cable TV movie.
There is an aspect of it where he's like the propagandist Harmony Korine, where it's like, I don't have to like the movie. I'm just like watching it wondering what the fuck's going on in this guy's head right now.
Yeah. It was so bad. I kept getting that feeling that I was watching Southland Tales again. And I was like, I don't want to be sucked into this again. Because I spent that whole movie going, at some point, this is going to make sense.
I've never made it all the way through. I've done it three times thinking that somewhere this will all pay off. And each time I get a little bit further and then I stop. Like, this is all awful.
It's crazy. When at some point the movie got so long that I stopped checking the runtime and how long it had been. And then when it ended. So you've never seen how it ends.
No.
It was one of those things. It was the most maddening moment in the world when the movie ended and you realize I just watched that whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
For no reason, and it didn't pay off.
It's like life.
it is exactly like life. You're talking about the
no catharsis.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Martin Lawrence and Murphy.
That's a life buzzer.
Oh, yeah, turn that buzzer down. It's a loud buzzer.
Sorry.
Scare people in their cubicles.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, Southland Tales. If for those of you who haven't seen it, I actually say see the movie.
Watch the trailer. The trailer is great.
Yeah, you'll be enthralled. You'll be excited. You'll be like, this looks kind of amazing. And then you'll watch it, and never goes anywhere.
Don't watch it.
Have you ever noticed how many? I mean, you have to have noticed, but he has a flag in like every third shot.
Yeah, he gets like a subsidy from the government. It's like he's like Big Corn, where they just put it in the school lunches, because why the fuck not?
I kind of think, you know how George Romero thinks like zombies are a metaphor? Like no matter what, it's like everything.
How sad is it to be George Romero right now, where like you're sitting in his private screening room, and he's nudging you the whole time going, it's a fucking metaphor. You get it?
Get it? Get it?
Do you get it?
I think Michael Bay's like that, but with America, where like everything's like, dude, don't you get it? It's just like America.
Yeah, this is like this is very much Wolf of Wall Street and a lot of the feelings that brought up.
Right, yeah.
Done not very good.
Right, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
It's like that, except
where if Scorsese
in the
were
hands
maybe
of someone who doesn't know what they're doing.
Scorsese might also be evil, and that DiCaprio might also be evil, and you don't really know where to stop.
Yeah, but it's entertaining.
And it
makes a lot of salient points.
Because I don't think Scorsese's a good guy, and DiCaprio seems like he's on point, and and then it was just Gordon Belfry that was the dick. And this one's like, at all levels, maybe everyone's a giant dick.
Yeah. Well, but it's like you said, where offensive comedy works when the comedian knows he's being offensive.
Right.
Like, I don't think, like when you watch Michael Bay, you don't get a sense that he knows which parts are bad.
He probably laughed his ass off at Bamboozled the whole way through. Right. Just like, look at these guys. These guys are great.
This should be a TV show. I don't get it. They made a lot of good points in it.
Like, I think he was definitely laughing his ass off when The Rock was like beating up the priest and like holding the midget up to the wall.
Yeah, right.
He's like, this is awesome, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Unexamined at every level is Michael Bay's existence.
fire seems cool. I like when the jets fly.
I was trying to write this piece on like the keys of Michael Bay's filmmaking. You have any? I'm not done yet, so you know, if you have any suggestions.
They have to go in a fast car and then it goes fast.
That's true. Oh, there's a lot of convertibles.
Smooth skin.
Smooth skin?
Smooth skin.
Chroma key the fuck out of it. Cops pull up, you're filming from the wheel of the cop car pulling up.
I've never seen such smooth skin in movies. Like like he finds people with specifically smooth skin, like Megan Fox.
I don't think she has smooth skin.
He's got a lot of post production.
Yeah.
Well, he likes them to look smooth.
Yeah, he likes them smooth.
Yeah, they do look smooth.
So the minor character—he's got a lot of minor characters that just have one obsession. I think he's like slut, clown, hair lip, fucking nerd. This guy like striper. You know, that's his only thing.
Yeah,
like he sort of boils people down to one thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always.
Yeah, he's like an ADD child. He can only see surface, and then he's on to the next thing.
Yeah. All right, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Fucking Matt.
Fucking me?
Yeah.
You want another suggestion?
No.
Michael Bay, he likes really smooth skin. He likes people who's like their skin look smooth.
Oh, we had a couple emails.
Wait, play my thing.
Oh, right. I forgot. Thanks for reminding me.
That's all right.
Where were you like 20 minutes ago, bro?
We were talking about the thing.
Smooth skin. Oh, that's right on. So what? You need context for this?
So last week we were talking about the time I found the clip about the pass out game.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And how the pass out game has always been my go-to fake news story.
Yeah.
Split that, right? You have a gut. You can put that in the cup.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you already drank out of both now. One should be mine.
They're drinking beers.
Yeah, we're drinking beer. Oh, you pour all over the computer. No one can have it except for the robot. The robot drinks for free.
Wonka, 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 wonka.
Just constantly threatening your kids to feed them to the fuck machine. You shut the fuck up, bro. Pull this car over and feed you to the fuck machine.
Tommy has to clean Charlene this
you
week.
You have an older brother you don't know about. You know where he is. He's inside there. Yeah. Along with all your other siblings.
If it actually does suck, that would make for a great abortion machine.
Oh, it's the full life cycle.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm making fun of local news, I go to the like, it's the pass out game and your kids are passing out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so in New York, I was watching TV and then the preview comes on and I'm like fist pumping as hard as I can. Yeah. My wife's like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, it's the best fucking day of my life is what's going on. So then I hooked up my computer to the TV and I actually recorded it. And the entire segment, yeah, sounds like it's pretty badass. I didn't actually tune in because, you know, local news.
But, right, yeah, yeah. You got things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ever hear of the pass-out game? Well, your kids have. And tonight at 11, I would choose to reveal the dangerous goings-on of some local middle school.
Plus, a day of warmth to look forward to, then some chilly reminders that spring is not here yet.
And meat laced with LSD sends a family to the hospital, but is there more on store shelves?
I wish I was that family.
Yeah. I love that the pass-out game warning wasn't the best part of that promo.
Yeah.
It's like,
spring isn't here. Also, LSD meat.
So this is perfect because we got an email about this.
Wait.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So, did you catch that it's a middle school? Like, uh-huh, that is some fucking grade A journalism happening there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they've either got a 40-year-old journalist doing the 21 Jump Street thing in a middle school, just sitting in those tiny little desks learning how to do cursive, or they've got someone in the middle school to narc out their friends, and it's like, fucking Sally Gordon lets everyone get to second base for Pokemon cards. It's like, that kid sucks.
Yeah.
I guess middle school, because everyone's kind of like still tattling, because they respect
you
authority.
You think it's just Andy Milonakis in there?
Just childing it up?
Yeah. I just like the idea of child. Of like a really tiny deep throat, you know, in a trench coat that's way too big for him that he usually uses to get into R-rated movies.
Like, what the fuck? Did someone, it has to be their children, right? Like, they're getting news stories from their children where they come home. And
it's got
to
be. Or, their son got, that's the Jimmy least, got in trouble with the principal.
That's the least embarrassing way to get that news story, is if you're getting your news from your child. Because every other option is way more stupid. Who taints, they inject the meat with LSD? They just slather it?
I don't know. I think you just get them mixed up when you're tripping balls with your cow.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Like the cows?
Yeah, I don't know.
The cows.
The way it works in recovery is I can't ever, willingly take LSD ever again.
Right. But if you accidentally...
If I accidentally...
Ate some tacos
and started tripping balls, I wouldn't lose my clean time.
You keep
time.
The chip.
No harm, no foul.
No harm. I didn't mean to do it.
Yeah.
And I get to have a freebie trip.
So you'll maybe hire someone to go to the store randomly LSD up some Taco Bell.
That's the thing. I would never willingly try and have that happen. But if one day I found myself eating whatever, and then I started tripping, I would look over to a guy would be my best friend, and
still
he would be
the
like,
fuck machine.
You're welcome. Yeah, still. So just letting you guys know.
Yeah. Just putting that out there for all the listeners in case
you
come see him do stand up.
Yeah, if you ever accidentally poison me with LSD, I will be forever grateful.
So LSD email.
Hey guys, so I was listening to your Frotcast this week when you were talking about the news. I work as an editor at the local news station, and I can confirm that the voice is intentional and something they all learn. In fact, if they are recording and find themselves slipping into a normal human voice, they will stop and redo it in the car salesman voice of terribleness. Also, when they do the "it's called Flappy Bird" thing, they think their lines are the wittiest things ever. Finally, we are doing the dumbest story today we have ever done. It's about doctors saying that we shouldn't shake hands anymore because it spreads germs. But since the reporter couldn't talk to any doctors, the whole story is just people, for some reason almost entirely black people, bumping hands, dancing, slapping hands, and at one point a random lady sings, "Oh Say Can You See," and "The Home of the Brave." This goes on for 2 minutes, and you can only see two people actually shake hands, not slap, dance, or bump hands. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that.
Oh, just your entire life is B-roll footage. Just you can never find the thing you're trying to display.
That's so great.
It's rough. It's rough for them. I feel bad.
I love that footage, though, or sometimes when they're like... there was one time I saw a video online of a local news story where they interviewed a neighbor about some robbery
man
that
on the
happened.
Street.
Yeah, and they didn't. She didn't want to show her face because she didn't, you know, want to show her face. And so they just kind of like taped her midsection, and she had the greatest camel toe that I have ever seen. And so you're just watching this camel toe as she's talking for a very long amount of time. And I was like, I love the news. They know what they're doing.
They're putting in a bite path on Polk.
Hey, Frogcast. I was listening to an old Frogcast because I have a boring desk job now, so I need something to do. And I listened to the episode with Punte where Vince told the story about lighting farts in front of some Kiwis. Well, last year I was traveling around Europe, and I took a ferry to from Helsinki to Tallinn, Estonia. I've been on that ferry. It was awesome. I checked into a hostel run by Australians, and from the moment I walked in the door, it was a nonstop party. I put my stuff upstairs and went down to the common area, where I got my first complimentary beer given to me with an, "Oi, cunt, here's your beer." So after a couple days there and partying, we were doing beer bongs before a pub crawl. I was pretty hammered because I was also trying to make a wizard staff as tall as me, and I got gassy. I started churning out loud, brutal farts, and the Aussies loved it. So we were outside smoking, and I asked them if they want to see something cool. So we went back into the common room, and I propped myself up a chair, lit my lighter, and let out a powerful fart. Now, I don't know what it is about putting your legs behind your head, but you have such a powerful expulsion. A huge explosion occurred, and everyone lost their shit. Aussies were laughing and crying and giving me high fives and hugs. A couple of guys laughed so hard they threw up from drinking too much. I was bestowed the title of fucking legend, and a photo of my fireball was put on the wall. Anyway, I fucking love Australians.
That's great.
Yeah,
it was a wonderful story.
Yeah, if any of you guys are listening or like, you know, 20, 21, 22, 23, definitely just go somewhere in Europe and like work at a hostel for a year, because that is like the most like,
yeah.
I experienced that just in a small way when I was going to Budapest, and I was like, oh my God, these guys have figured out the glitch in the Matrix. It's like, yeah, they're going to spend 6 months here doing nothing but getting really drunk and like banging girls from different countries of the world that are on vacation.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Shit.
You should do that. You should start a hostel.
I should do that.
You know, they really should have like older people hostels, because like you want to go somewhere and be in a group where you, like if you travel alone, like I do, because I'm unmarried and my life's sad. like I was like, you know, I had, you know, I got disposable income. I want to travel places. I'm like, oh, I want to go to Budapest. And I was like super on the fence. I was like, oh man, it's going to be,
I don't know anybody there.
I don't know anybody there. It's going to be weird. It's just going to be me being alone and sad. Cause when you travel alone, yeah, like sometimes you're just alone and sad, and it sucks.
If you don't know the place, you don't know where to go do the fun things, yeah, where it's okay to be chilling.
So I went, and you know, I was the fucking oldest person there by a ways, but I was just young enough to where it wasn't like they didn't like kick me out, you know.
Right,
and it was
right.
And it was actually like super awesome. But yeah, I don't think there's many more years where I'm gonna be able to do that. And I feel like there's a market where you're like, yeah, we're a hostel for like, you know, 35 year olds if you want to come and you know, hang
golf
out and party.
Trip,
yeah,
yeah,
we're not gonna like light our farts on fire and puke on each other, but we, you know, if you're single, there's gonna be some other single people here getting drunk and like seeing the town and like doing whatever.
Yeah, I fully endorse that. We can make a lot of money. There's also no hostel culture in America. There are hostels here, always in the bad part of town, and
there's one in Fort Mason. Did you know that?
No,
I discovered
shit
this the other day when I was looking for free Wi-Fi. They actually have a little cafe in
that's
there.
That's a nice place to put a hostel. That's the only hostel in America I've seen that isn't a nice place.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, there's another one in the Tenderloin, not so good.
I feel bad for the Europeans coming over here trying to take our buses and stay in our hostels. It's like, no, that's not how it works here. Buses are roving insane asylums, and hostels are just where the crackheads poop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone wrote us a fan fiction. I haven't had a chance to read it yet because it's kind of long. I'll read it one of these times. Here's one from a Reformed Love Actually fan. The first time I heard Vince rip on Love Actually, I couldn't figure out why he hated it so much. Up to that point, all the reviews I read confirmed my opinion that it was great, if sometimes sappy. To my wife's credit, she has always hated it and could never understand.
This time he's not embarrassed. This time that was intentional. That was like,
now it's Bob.
That was like he farted and then made everyone leave the room.
To my wife's credit, she has always hated it and could never understand why I liked it so much. But my resolve was firm and I couldn't be convinced otherwise. Cut to last week's Frotcast when Vince mentioned that it was one of his deal breaker movies, and it dawned on me. Love Actually was released in 2003 when I was 19 and still a huge pussy. When it came out, I hadn't evolved to where I realized that if I liked a girl, I should probably, you know, just go talk to her. In a flash, my whole worldview changed as I came to the uncomfortable conclusion that I had been manipulated into liking a steaming pile of shit for the past 11 years. On that day, I swore an oath to never praise this movie again. I'm not proud of the times I watched it, but with any luck, my story will help even one. If my story will help even one delusional Love Actually fan, fraud on.
Are there any movies that you watched when you're a huge pussy and then later realized not so good?
Well, I thought that was going to happen. I was worried that was going to happen with Eternal Sunshine because I loved it so much that I was worried that if I watched it again, I was going to be like, oh, I was just like a painfully earnest like 22-year-old. And I watched it and I was like, oh, man. Like there's things about it where like now I watch it and I see that she's a crazy chick, but...
Michelle,
you still dated
old Michelle can be precious as fuck and still get away with it.
Yeah, but then oh man, that movie's just great.
Chasing Amy for me, I watched that again. I'm not really into this.
I hated it when it came out, but it wasn't because like I was too cynical for it. It's just that chick crying in her stupid voice like made me want to throw things.
I've never even when I was supposed to like Kevin Smith movies, I never liked them.
Really?
Not one.
What's one that you liked when you were a pussy?
I tried to like for me Dogma was the one that I liked.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's the one I like, and then I saw it again, and it's just like it's kind of like if I saw Bamboozled again, I probably wouldn't like Bamboozled as much if I saw it again. But you know, because when I saw Dogma, I was like, oh my god, that's so true. Like everything they're saying.
I don't know if this counts, but almost anything Farrelly Brothers doesn't hold up for me.
What about
not really?
Dumber. See, I was Dumb and more, Dumber does.
But. I was more talking about your emotional state
as a
young, impressionable man, rather than like it just not passing culturally.
I should watch Garden State again to see if it still passes.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that. I think it's still. I watched it recently.
Really?
It's still, it's hard to get past the place you were at the time.
Yeah.
But that's why everyone hates on it because they're like, oh yeah, the Shins aren't cool anymore. It's like, well, still kind of a good movie.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of one that was, you know, that I was, but I think I was more cynical when I was younger, if anything.
Yeah, I've gotten better at not thinking I'm smart.
yeah,
me too.
Yeah, where I thought, yeah, I thought I was the shit for a while.
Yeah.
And like, God, I must have been insufferable.
I know.
Like more than, imagine me now and then.
Everybody's
doubled insufferability wise.
You know what's even worse is imagine the people around you. And I'm not talking about like the young people who also thought they were the smartest.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the adults.
God, how awful must that be where they're just cringing the whole time wanting to hit me in the face?
And how awful, do you ever think about that? Like, do you ever have any regrets about how much you probably like just talk shit on George W. Bush?
Not like, about that.
No, that's the thing. But I started thinking about it.
Pretty bad at stuff.
No, I know. But when I was 15, going, George W. Bush is so stupid. There's no fucking way in the world I was smarter than George W. Bush when I was 15.
How old are you?
I don't know about that.
Are you like 13?
No, I'm like, no, how could I? I'm 29. No, of course I was not smarter than George W. Bush.
Have you seen him talk?
Listen, I've seen him talk. I've seen him talk, but I'm saying this guy is, I'm not saying he's a smart guy. He certainly wasn't a good president, but there's no way my dumb ass who couldn't finish a book that was assigned to him ever was smarter than a Harvard/Yale graduate. I'm just saying. I'm not saying he was smarter than you guys now. I'm not saying that he's that. I'm just saying me personally, I was not smarter than him. No fucking way. Yeah. And think about like the people even younger. There's probably middle schoolers. I remember being a camp counselor with like fourth graders who are like, George W. Bush is stupid. Yeah. And part of me wanted to be like, listen, you fucking little idiot. You don't know shit about life. All right.
That's what every kid should get that talk once a day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to be parroting your parents' culture's little stupid beliefs, which is totally annoying. It's another to be coming up and claiming insight into like
fucking intro to philosophy classes type shit. We're like, oh, I just learned something at school.
Right.
And you're like, isn't this the smartest? Like, because you're playing by your learning process where it's like, turns out that shit's been around for like 500 years, fucker. Yeah. Not that exciting.
Why didn't anybody realize this?
Oh, God.
I get it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like, I must have been such a fucking little shit.
Yeah, I feel bad for the people who don't feel bad about their pasts.
I feel bad
like
for
you should be
the
so
president.
Fucking
I actually had this argument with an ex-girlfriend of mine where she's like, yeah, I don't regret anything.
Yeah, no.
I have no regrets. I'm like,
wrong.
Like, really?
Sociopath.
You've never ever done anything that you sort of regret? Never?
I regret like, everything I've said tonight.
Yeah. It's like, I know, I understand not letting things you've done in the past affect your future,
right?
But really, maybe like learning, if you have no introspection, like you don't think anything you've ever done is no regrets ever.
Yeah, I hate.
I have
so
a hard
much.
Time because I'll like tomorrow I'll wake up and be like, oh god, what did I fucking
by the way,
say
was,
to the internet?
She was the one who I talked to today, and she's like, I like Transformers. It was really great, like the new one. And then 2 seconds later, Bay is a friend. And I was like, yeah, of course he is. You fucking name dropper.
Who is this person?
I didn't want to get into it.
Name drop.
Oh, God. Anyone who says they have no regrets and means it is...
Yeah, that's terrifying, right?
...is a terrifying human being.
It's okay to say I have no regrets and mean it like in an OK Cupid profile kind of way, because that's just like a dumb thing to say.
Yeah,
and you're excused, you're excused for saying things that are dumb, because that's what we're talking about. It's like, just reform. Don't say dumb things later.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, if you say it and mean it,
you're
a fucking monster.
Yeah, you are. You really are. You're someone who takes pride in that they have never learned from a mistake.
Yeah, never learned a lesson ever.
And not only that, it's either that or they're saying they have never made a mistake. I know for a fact.
Or they think they were super precious in high school, which like everyone's awful in high school. You smell and you're gross, not
don't
smooth
know what to do
skin.
With your hair
disgusting.
Yet.
Yeah, you're oh god, with the gel.
You look back at your haircut, you're like, oh man, but how was I so bad at hair?
Everyone talks about the awkward period. I didn't realize how awkward my period was until afterwards.
Oh yeah.
Like I thought I was doing great in high school and junior high. I was just like, I'm killing it. This is I'm having a blast. And you look back and you're like, oh
my god.
I show people my sophomore year pictures, they're like, so how old are you? They're like 12? I'm like, no, I was 16. I was driving.
Just getting my master's.
Getting my driver's license. Thanks. Anyway, I thought this was fun. I mean, we e-jackboxed each other.
We did. Walk.
You guys, we love getting your emails. You know, it doesn't have to be a story. Maybe it's just your whatever you thought about this episode. I like when Feck emails and he just tells me what he thought of an article. It's always
those are the comments. The comments on the podcast are almost always super constructive.
Yeah, because it's like they have to
they're
have listened
the hardcore,
to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we love you guys. Frotcast@gmail.com, 415-275-0030 if you want to leave us a voicemail. One of these times I'm going to figure out how to take calls during the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, live.
Scary, but.
You got to put the tweet out. You gotta say, hey, we're accepting calls. Because it's
tweet.
That'd be really fun. We should do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys, I won't steal Brendan's line, but thank you for listening.